Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Once again with Lauren Conlon, friend of the show, who's been on several times to talk about a variety of topics. Lauren, you're into a little bit of everything. You do crime news. You do pop culture news. You have podcasts for both, podcasts that overlap. When do you sleep is my main question.
I have a hard time. I do. I have a hard time, but thanks for having me back. But I think it's important also that when you cover so much crime, that you also have an outlet, which for me is pop culture and mindless celebrity garbage, which happens to spill over into celebrity crime, which obviously I find a lot more interesting.
We had been doing True Crime Cast for maybe a year, 2 years, and then we were like, yeah, we need an outlet. So we made another podcast called Bless Their Hearts. We need to have you on there and talk about, I don't know, like cooking or something like that.
Yeah. We spend so much time talking about food and we talked to you about that before we started. So that would be perfect. Yeah. We had to not talk about murder all the time.
We were talking about baking before we started this, just full transparency. You need to plan a trip, Lauren, down to Kentucky and let these old boys feed you some, what were we talking about? Pumpkin roll, peanut butter roll.
I feel like there's a whole Southern menu that you could experience.
Pinto beans and cornbread. Yeah, come on down. We'll fatten you up, send you on your way. You'll be happy.
That sounds amazing. I'm honestly there. And we'll have you guys obviously have great bourbon, I'm assuming, as well.
Oh, yep. Yeah, it's very close by. There are many, many tours and trails, the bourbon trail to go on.
There's water fountains, you know, it's in our blood.
Sounds great. I'm there.
All right. So you're doing pop crime TV, YouTube, you're doing The Outlier podcast, which I think is more of the blend, and then Primetime Crime with Jarrett Ferrantino, who we've had on a couple times recently. So a little bit of everything. And I feel like I went back through, because we're talking about P. Diddy today, or Diddy, or Brother Love, or Puff Daddy, or whichever one we want to go with.
Papa Diddy Pop, is that what he was called on a movie?
And you've covered that a little bit on a couple of them, but really I think focused on it more on The Outlier. And I could be wrong about that, but how do you segment your work into these different projects when they do or don't overlap?
Yes. So Pop Crime TV, my YouTube channel, is essentially where I cover the celebrity crime. And then that also spills over into The Outlier. However, with Primetime Crime that I host with Jarrett, as you mentioned, we definitely cover more cases like, you know, middle America cases, and or I don't want to say middle America, but you guys get me, the cases that you see on court TV.
Right.
But I did convince Jarrett to cover Keefe D, which, as you guys know, Keefe D is going to be on trial for the murder of Tupac in March of 2025, because I wanted to talk about that, but also how Diddy fit in. So we did an episode on that, and he's cool with it. He's very go with the flow, so he didn't mind. So every once in a while, I'll kind of push my agenda on him.
And I think a lot of people, I mean, that is kind of mainstream. People are super interested in the Tupac assassination, murder, whatever you want to call it. What do you have to be assassinated instead of murdered?
I don't know. If I'm dead by murder, it's definitely just a murder. It's not an assassination.
Me too.
But Diddy is like, he dips into that as well. But that wasn't the first time that he ended up on the radar for crime issues. And I feel like we've talked to you previously. And he's like, we need to talk about Diddy, and then we'll wait a month and there's new stuff. So I guess maybe we don't go all the way back to the beginning, but recent history started with some allegations. How did Diddy's name come into the crime conversation?
Well, I mean, I think Diddy, let's say this started in 2023 with Cassie's lawsuit, even though, like you said, it didn't actually start in 2023. But when that lawsuit came out, that was explosive. And then the fact that he settled essentially a day later was extremely telling. And if you read any of this lawsuit, and it sounds horrible, but I would suggest that if anyone is going to read a lawsuit that that has been put forth, one of the 10 so far, that they read Cassie's. So it paints a story that is so heartbreaking, so tragic, and you really understand what Cassie went through and kind of why she stayed, if that makes sense. A lot of people are judgy and they say, why would she stay when this was happening? Well, she worked so hard, you know, on her albums, on her career, and Diddy would just dangle that in front of her. If you don't do this, I'm going to ensure that your album does not get released. And I'm not even talking about, I'm not even going into the half of it, the disgusting, disturbing allegations of sexual assault and abuse. This is just the bribes and the blackmail. But I would go back, I would read that. It's very disturbing. And then from there, things just seem to pile on and get worse.
Yeah, so that was Cassie Ventura. And the initial allegation came out late 2023. And I'm literally scrolling through a timeline right now to make sure that I'm trying to keep up with you, because I know you dig into this a lot more deeply than others. I didn't feel like a lot of people were surprised. And maybe that's on the heels of some other Hollywood type cases. Did you, like, it was a big deal because it was awful, but I didn't sense the shock. Am I wrong on that?
No, because I actually feel like a lot of people didn't read it. They would read the Variety article or the Deadline article and they would get some highlights. I think the real shock came out when the video was released in the hotel, right? So that's when everybody was like, okay, it's not like I didn't believe her, but now that I've seen it with my own eyes. But let me go back and I can, if you saw that disturbing video, I can sort of tell you what led up to that and some of the things that she dealt with, because when that video was released, I went back to the lawsuit and I was able to match it up to the day and the time of what exactly happened. So he would force Cassie to participate in what he called a freak off. And they actually had a nickname for it. They'd call it an FO. And this is when he would sometimes even fly in sex workers from Miami or New York and fly them to wherever they were to make Cassie have relations with them while he watched. And she, and guys, like, he would go up and just sock her in the face during some of these when she was engaged in these acts. And Cassie would have to be so, like, high, I guess. I don't want to make her look bad, because I do understand, but Cassie, had to go to rehab after, you know, she broke things off with Diddy, because she had to engage in drug use in order to get through whatever he was forcing her to get through. So she would just be drunk, high, I mean, you name it, to get through these ordeals. So one specifically very, very bad FO occurred at this hotel, and it was the Intercontinental in LA, I believe. And Diddy was drunk and he fell asleep. And this was the time that he actually punched her in the face during the freak off. So he fell asleep and Cassie takes this moment to, as you saw, get her sweatshirt on, her hood, her bag. And she's like, I am getting the heck out of here. So she leaves. And then what you saw is something just straight out of a horror movie. Diddy running down the hall in that towel, dragging her by the hair, kicking her, and then throwing those glass flower vases at her. So yeah, that was one of the more disturbing things that I read. And, you know, Cassie details one night, it was one of her birthday parties. She's sitting at a dinner with all of her friends. And in the middle of dinner, he just wanted to be big man. And he gets up and he's like, Cassie, let's go. We're doing an FO. And she's like, now I'm sitting here with my friends at dinner. Can this wait? And even one of her girlfriends was like, dude, no, not the time. And he's like, let's go. He forced her. And then that same night on her birthday, he actually threatened one of her friends, allegedly dangling them off of a balcony at a hotel after the FO. I mean, this guy is sick, you guys. You don't even know the half of it. I think prison is too nice of a place for him. And I'm not kidding.
Right. And I watched part of the video. I'm going to be honest. I didn't make it through it. It was very disturbing and uncomfortable. And I think what he did in the first part that I watched was way too much. That was before when you mentioned him throwing the flower vase. Like, I didn't get that far because it is so difficult to watch. Mm-hmm. So that came out, I think, in May. And then he quote unquote, apologized, but then the lawsuits just kept coming from other people. Were all their stories similar to Cassie's, or were they different, and how were they different?
I mean, they were similar and different, of course, and it's hard to even pinpoint. You know, I've heard some people say, oh, this lawsuit is bad, this one's worse. I think they really are all equal. I just think Cassie's is over 30 pages, and hers is just very detailed. She doesn't leave anything out. And the other lawsuits, I mean, I found one of the producers, Lil Rod Jones, his was pretty disturbing. I mean, just waking up in bed, not knowing what happened to him, but being next to a naked man and next to Diddy. And yeah, I can see how that would really mess someone up, along with, gosh, it's the most recent lawsuit. And actually, no, sorry. It was right before Don Richard of Danity Kane. And I'm kind of skipping around a little bit. But the Michigan inmate that filed this lawsuit, who supposedly is going to be awarded $100 million, but, you know, Diddy's going to appeal that, obviously. Right. And he's only allegedly awarded this money because Diddy never showed up for any of the hearings. So this guy said that he was a bartender and he met Diddy. It was Detroit. And Diddy said, hey, do you want to come out with us after? And he said, sure. He goes to Diddy to this party after. Diddy gives him a drink. He passes out. And then when he wakes up, he looks over and Diddy is engaging in a sexual act with a woman. And he looks at this guy whose name is Derek. And he says, oh, by the way, I did this to you a few hours earlier. And he was like, what? And what? So, yeah, I know. But, you know, I want to say it's interesting because I was researching this with this guy, Derek, and he also had a lawsuit out that just got thrown away, actually, where he was suing like the Archdiocese of Detroit for sexual abuse, like for a prolonged period of time. So he was suing his Monsignor and they're like, no, sorry, this is not going to work. So I'm not sure if he's a serial sewer or what, but it sounds like he's had a really bad life, made some bad choices, which is why he's in prison and suing people.
Yeah, but his story lines up with the story of others that have come forward and talked about Diddy. And yes. And I mentioned the Tupac thing. We could have a whole other episode on that, but Keefe D is basically saying I did it. And there's so many references to Diddy in this suit. And that came up kind of in the middle of all this.
Yeah.
What's his alleged involvement in the Tupac murder?
Yeah. So that's another thing. And this is where you say the phrase, multiple things can be true at once.
Right.
So Keefe D alleged that they were at a party in California and Diddy was there. And this guy, Eric Zip Martin, was there as well. Eric Zip Martin is now deceased. And they both heard Diddy say that they would pay a significant amount of money for Suge and Tupac's head. And so Keefe D and Eric Zip Martin are like, yeah, cool. We got this. Now, we all know that gang hits are not like mob hits, right? They're not super planned out. They kind of just happen or evolve, I guess. And so at the same time, Diddy had this bounty for the death row medallions that they wear. You know, he would say $10,000, get me, you know, a medallion. And so that night, the night that Tupac was killed, I believe that, you know, this fight broke out with Orlando Anderson because he allegedly was trying to steal one of the medallions. And they got in this huge fight at the MGM. And then I believe that Keefe D is like, all right, great. This is a good time to do what Diddy said. We're going to do it. We hate him and we're going to get paid for it. So, I mean, it was in the back of his mind that this needed to happen because, yeah, allegedly Diddy said it needed to happen. But it was almost like, well, this is perfect timing, I guess, because this is happening and it all makes sense. But Keefe D is alleging that he never got the money, that Eric Zip Martin possibly got the money, even though they're not really even sure. Yeah. So that's pretty interesting. But I had a hard time believing that Keefe D was this big mastermind that's like, yes, Tupac and Suge need to die. I mean, I've researched him. He was, you know, he was pretty high up in this gang. He made a lot of calls, but he doesn't seem like a super intelligent guy. Not that that matters, but my findings, I didn't believe that he was this mastermind shot caller that came up with this and wanted this done himself.
Right. So is there hard evidence linking Diddy to this, or is it really just Keefe-D's word?
Yeah, that's the issue. It's Keefe-D's word. The Las Vegas police have said Diddy has no involvement. They've said this over and over. However, after hearing about this, Tupac's family actually hired Alec Baldwin's lawyer, Alex Spiro, to represent their family. And I don't know if you recall this, but after Tupac died, Diddy called Tupac's brother and said, "Hey, man, I'm really sorry about your brother, but I just want you to know I had nothing to do with it." And his brother's like, "Okay, cool. Didn't ask, but yeah, thanks."
I didn't know about
you
that.
Guys, can you imagine them talking like me?
Yes.
They're being like, "Hey guys, like, I didn't ask. Thanks."
I feel like I'm there. Honestly, I feel like this is a recording of that phone conversation.
I sound exactly like them. I know
you do. Okay. So that's kind of almost a side story in all the Diddy stuff, but one that keeps coming up, and I'm based on when I was born, a big Eminem fan, and his recent album has several call outs to Diddy's involvement in a lot of different things.
Eminem, I'm going to be honest, I'm not super up on Eminem's albums, his lyrics, whatever, but I'm not surprised at this point. Not surprised at all, because not one celebrity here or one hip hop artist has come forward in support of Diddy.
Right. And I haven't heard, is anybody defending him on any front for anything he's been accused of?
No, I have not heard of anything. Literally. I mean, I think at this point you see his social media. He's deleted almost all of it. Last I checked, he had two pictures. His house is on the market. I think he knows that he's done. There has been a grand jury, or a grand jury should be convening in New York City very, very soon, if they haven't already, because I'm convinced that we're very close to him getting indicted on something related to human trafficking, sex trafficking, whatever.
And most of these accusations are that, like, very involved in sexual assaults, bringing people in for sexual assaults, manipulation, using the bribery from those. Is there any statute of limitations that's going to be a problem here? Because it looks like it goes pretty far back, right?
So no, only because the reason that a lot of these women came forward is because Kathy Hochul, who's the governor of New York, she had this 1-year look back. So basically it was 2023. She said, "I'm going to give survivors of sexual assault 1 year to come forward with any lawsuit, any claims they want to make. No statute. You've got until this date to file these lawsuits, and, you know, we'll move forward. We'll consider them, whatever." So all of these women and these people, they met that deadline.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't heard about that outside of this case, so I wonder how much that's going to continue to come up, but
it's done. That it expired already. So yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if there are any other major cases that'll come from it. And that was last year, right? It was pretty much the calendar year 2023.
Yeah, there was Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, had a good one. And then, gosh, there was, now I'm forgetting, it's been a while, but maybe Andrew Cuomo had another one too, you know, just the usual suspects, guys, the usual creeps.
More ammunition to take into court. And you mentioned an indictment. Let's back up a little bit on the legal side of what's happening. There was a huge raid all over the news.
Yes.
What was that about? What did they get? Because they didn't arrest him when they did it.
No, because this was just all part of their investigation. So Homeland Security raided his L.A. and Miami homes, seizing laptops, cell phones, any kind of digital or electronic devices that could help prove their case against him with the human and sex trafficking. So I'm thinking that all of this is going to come out when they finally indict him. And I'm saying when, not if.
Right. Where is he right now?
We don't know. We have no idea where he is. I think maybe a few months ago, He was seen maybe leaving Miami, or his private plane was there and people were wondering, "Hey, where is he going?" He was on some island. But as of right now, he has not been spotted in public since he took his daughters to golf or something like that. I can't recall exactly.
Yeah. So nobody's seen him. And you believe that this is coming. Where would the indictment's going to be in New York, or the, I guess, grand jury hearing? Do you have a timeline for that? Is there a timeline?
No, I mean, there's no timeline. This is me speculating. Okay. So sure, it could be months, it could be days, it could be weeks, it could be a year. I don't think it's going to take a year. I think they're moving quickly. I mean, guys, I thought about this too, and this sounds very conspiratorial, but what if he does escape to, an island? He's very, very wealthy. So you never know. And I think he knows that he's in trouble. He's contracted 3 or 4 different law firms at this point. I mean, he's got a lot of attorneys doing a lot of different things.
He's wealthy, but also connected. Do you remember the all white parties that he had in the Hamptons? Did you all read about that?
Yeah.
So yeah, he would have these parties with people that live in the Hamptons. And this is so random, but I feel like this is even absurd. At one of those parties, like in 2004, he claimed to have the Declaration of Independence, and it was there with him. Do you remember this, Lauren?
He got Nick Cage to go steal it? Is that what happened?
Like,
wow. Wow. I did not hear that, but there is in a recent lawsuit, I'm drawing a blank on her name, but she detailed working these white parties and her boyfriend as well. And you got to see sort of the ins and outs of those parties and what he was doing. And yeah, so I believe that. I completely believe everything you said.
It was in an article, like a timeline article from NPR. And it talked about those Hamptons parties. And at one of them, he brought out what is said to be a copy of the Declaration of Independence, like an original copy.
Yeah, that's wild, but I believe it. Or something like it.
Who knows? I got tired of, like, I literally lost count of how many allegations, sexual allegations have been made against him. And I was like, oh, okay, well, he might have stolen a legal document from the United States. Let me focus on that for a minute.
Yep. And so this is also interesting, but his son, Christian Combs, there's a suit against him. And Christian is using Jeffrey Lichtman as his defense attorney, I saw, who Jeffrey Lichtman famously represented El Chapo. I thought that was, yeah, I actually interviewed Jeffrey Lichtman on my old podcast, Lauren Interviews, and he is, he's not a kind man. He's not fun to interview. How do I say this? He's just a dick. And I'd go on record saying that he's super rude. I was 35, I remember. And he asked me how old I was, which you all know, it's very rude to ask a woman that. And I said, I'm 35. And his response was, okay, so you're old. I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, wow, look at you, bro. You're like 30 years older than me. I was just stunned. I mean, I was a lot greener and I was a lot more timid than I am now, but man, that was a trip.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, we don't do that in the South either. We don't ask women if they're pregnant or how old they are.
That's dangerous. Super dangerous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm trying to just understand moving forward. Have we ever had anybody as wealthy and resourceful as Sean Combs? That's his legal name, right? Mm. Like that's where we're at.
Correct.
Other than Epstein? Or
yeah, like was he as, I know the connections, but was he as wealthy? And obviously he's allegedly killed himself in prison. Have we had anybody actually go to prison of this stature?
I was thinking about this. I mean, you obviously have Suge. So Suge is up there.
Right.
But you really, I guess we haven't seen anything like this before. Not in my lifetime. I mean, 10 different lawsuits at the same time. And they're all extremely disturbing and very, very serious. And also, guys, let's think about Kim Porter here. That was his baby mama and his longtime love. And she died in 2018, age 48, pneumonia complications. And some of these lawsuits, they really go into detail about how these women saw Diddy's behavior with Kim Porter and how he abused Kim in front of them and how these women were forced to participate in, you know, sexual activity allegedly with Kim and Diddy. And it's a mess. And Kim was very close with Kimora Lee Simmons, Russell Simmons's ex. Mm-hmm. And Kimora Lee went out and said some things publicly about Diddy and put something on her Instagram story, something very general, but everyone knew she was referring to Diddy. It was something like, as you sow, you shall reap, or whatever. And a few days later, her house caught on fire, which I thought was strange, with her children inside. Everybody was safe, but a lot of people were kind of looking over like, hey, that's crazy timing. And we know he's done things like that. I mean, in Kathy's lawsuit, she details that he blew up Kid Cudi's car. Well, she doesn't say Kid Cudi, but we know right. that it was Kid Cudi based on reports. And that's because he saw some emails between them. So
there have been these 10 allegations, and I know, I'm sure there are statistics out there about what goes unreported, but I think mm-hmm. it's safe to assume we're in the dozens of individuals that have been victims, if not hundreds. And then these 10 came forward. So we could theoretically expect more once we see that something may actually be done. Maybe some people are waiting to see him go away because they do fear situations like that.
And there have been so right. many that are in the past. I mean, this goes back to the 90s where they've come up, they've been dismissed, acquitted, or charges have been lowered.
Paid off. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. this is not just recent stuff. This goes back 30 something years.
Yeah. And that's what's just so horrible and scary about it. It's like you guys said, think of how many women are not coming forward, or men even, you know, with Diddy, it's both. So, and with the recent lawsuit of Dawn Richard from Danity Kane, a lot of her lawsuit is financially motivated in terms of like, well, you know, you owe me this on this record. These royalties didn't get paid because of what you did here. We locked out on these sales. And obviously there's allegations involved with abuse, not necessarily assault. But yeah, hers is a little bit different. But no, it's bad. I mean, if you go back to, gosh, the late 90s, these girls were in college. They were just so susceptible to somebody like him who had this immense power. He had just started Bad Boy Records. He was moving on up. I mean, he had a handful of hit songs. And so I just, you know, I feel for them. I really do. Especially I think about myself at 20, 21. My God. I mean, this is crazy. I had a girlfriend that worked at Calvin Klein, which was in the same building as Sean John. I think they might've been under the same umbrella, same mm-hmm. owners, whatever. But Diddy came in and saw my friend, and she's a super cute blonde. I mean, she's still beautiful, but back in college, like even more so. And he asked her out and she was like, no, I'm good. And like me and my girlfriend, we were like, why? Why didn't you go out? You should have. We would have had the best time. We were like shaming her for not going out with him. And now looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, thank goodness.
Yeah, she certainly avoided a potentially bad situation there. And not everybody was fortunate enough to do that.
Yes, exactly. No, I actually apologized to her a few weeks ago. I brought it up and I was just like, you know, do you remember that? And she's like, yeah, no, I remember that.
And you hear TikTok is the most amazing thing because I get to watch people fall down a lot, but also an awful thing because it's full of conspiracies. And you hear about these Hollywood parties similar to this, of where they bring people out and they get them in these acts and blackmail them. And Diddy's name is up there, but he's not the only one. So it'll be interesting to watch moving forward if he is convicted and held accountable for some of these things. Who's next?
Yeah, I mean, this is not necessarily on... this is not necessarily an answer to what you just said, but I thought about this recently, is Justin Bieber hanging out with Diddy and at some of these parties when he was a very young child. Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, Justin Bieber is extremely damaged. And I don't think he's ever going to come forward and say what happened to him, because I'm pretty sure something happened. If I had to speculate, that poor boy has been through it. I mean, we know that there's that infamous video of Diddy saying he's mine for the next 48 hours. Let's see what we get into. And you've got Justin Bieber at age 14, just with this puppy doll look on his face, like, oh my God. So yeah, I do. I think about some of this stuff. And you know, I recently came across some pictures from a 2014 party in Atlanta with Diddy and Cassie and a bunch of people and Justin Bieber. And it's like, Bieber's the only one without his shirt. It's just strange. And it's shows a lot of like Diddy grabbing his arm, whispering to him, and Justin having this look on his face. And these are candid photos. You can find these just by searching. So I've gone down some of these rabbit holes just to look at body language, and it's disturbing.
And based on your following of the case, and I feel like you report on it pretty quickly anytime anything breaks, do you feel pretty confident this will move forward to a prosecution? You said when, if not instead of if on an indictment, are we going to see some accountability?
Yeah. I really think so. I really do. I mean, he's pushing back on a number of these lawsuits saying that it's a money grab, but I think a lot of them have legs. And I think that if he has multiple cases mounting against him, he's going to have to settle some of them. So maybe some of these women or men will just get some money. And then on the human and sex trafficking side, allegedly, you know, that's where he'll get the jail time.
Yeah. Super hopeful that happens. And we'll keep folks posted, but your social media, and your shows are a great place to stay up to date on that. Other cases, Delphi, Brian Koberger, like you guys are usually out in front of a lot of things. Where can they find you to make sure they get the most up-to-date info about Diddy?
Well, my Twitter is a great place where I just post all of my shows and everything I'm covering. So my Twitter is at Conlin_Lauren. And I'll put links to everything that Jarrett and I are doing and things that I'm doing for myself. So I think that would be a good place to start. And then I have popcrime.tv, which is my website. So I do a lot of, you know, I just started putting up my own articles on there as well. And, you know, the other day I had some breaking news about Harvey Weinstein, which I'm not sure if people care anymore about his demise and what's going on with him, but I am somewhat close with his attorney just from the media world in the city. So I got some great quotes and I was, you know, I put them up. I'm all excited. And I'm just like, man, no one cares about Harvey and if he's going to kick the bucket or not. So I'm kind of like, this was a waste, but I pat myself on the back anyway.
Oh no, that's a huge break for sure.
Yeah, well,
and I mean, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier of majorly connected people go like that. He's one of them, right? He was super powerful.
Yeah.
So that, I think the newer cases obviously look more shiny, but all that reporting is awesome. I also follow you guys on Instagram and TikTok. So a lot of good stuff over there, but we appreciate you hanging out with us today. I've seen bits and pieces about this story and haven't had time to research it as much as we often do our cases. So super glad you were able to come on and inform us and our listeners about what's happening and hopefully bringing this guy down.
Yeah, I hope I wasn't too all over the place for everybody.
There's so much going on. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. There is a lot. So yeah, let's see what happens. I'm ready for justice.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you, Lauren. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.